Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,277. Let me check that. Yeah. April 1st, 2024. 84 degrees on this day in 2015 and 9 degrees on this day in 1975. And thanks to our friends at Aquaside, we have ice outs.
They're back.
Yes.
Aquaside pellets.
Minnetonka went out on this day in 1889, 1902, 1911. White Bear Lake went out on this day in 2007, 2010. And I look back and see when Minnetonka went out in 2007, 2010, just a day or two after that. Aquaside brings you these records of the day because the swimming season will soon be upon us. And if you have water on the property,
yep,
call Aquaside. They've been helping people maintain Great Lake shores for more than 60 years. With a complete line of lake and pond control products, they take care of everything from weeds to the algae. The best thing is the products work quickly, and they're easy to use. I've used them. They're registered with the authorities, the EPA and the DNR. They're safe for you and the fish. There's no need to let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside. They'll help you identify your weed problem. You'll get the right products. Your place will look great all summer long. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Hail the flashlight, King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner. Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Height in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Hi. Happy Easter.
Hey.
Do you have ham?
It's snowing right now.
Is it really?
April Fools.
Wait a minute.
I got a couple people on that one today.
Don't you mean Happy Trans Day?
That was yesterday.
Hmm.
And it raised quite a stink around the country that Biden seemingly declared Easter Sunday as International Transgender Day of Visibility. Well, not really. First of all, I don't even think there needs to be an International Transgender Day of Visibility, but transgender people really, really, really want to think they're special.
Right.
And in terms of visibility, I would just say it's a rather smart aleck remark, but it's pretty visible if you're transgender.
It shows.
The visibility's right there.
It shows.
In any event, it's the last Sunday in March. Always gets this International Transgender Day deal. And ironically, the last day of March this year was Easter, which is very rare for Easter to be this early.
How many years in a row has it been for National Transgender Day?
How many years in a row?
Well, you say it's always.
That day is always celebrated on the last Sunday of March.
Right.
I'm sorry. Not the last Sunday of March. Every March 31st.
31st, yeah. Got since it. 2009, Chris.
Yeah, brand new national holiday. Mm,
got
yeah.
it.
And yesterday it happened to fall on Easter Sunday. Now,
is there a parade?
If I was president, mm-hmm. I just would not have mentioned it. I would have realized, well, it's Easter. Let's leave well enough alone. If the trans people want to have their day of visibility, that's fine. But it doesn't interfere with me saying this is also Easter Sunday.
I think that depends on the party you represent.
That's true. But I got a note from Howard who seeks clarity in murky times. And there were so many days yesterday. It was Anesthesia Tech Day, March 31st. Cesar Chavez Day. Right?
No.
Easter Sunday, of course. Eiffel Tower Day. International Hug a Medievalist Day. As in a medieval person. I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah.
International Transgender Day of Visibility. National Baked Ham with Pineapple Day. It was National Bunsen Burner Day. It was National Clams on the Half Shell Day, National Crayon Day, National Farm Workers Day, National Prom Day, National She's Funny That Way Day. It was Tater Day. It was Transfer Day in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I don't know what that means.
Who determines when these days are,
people,
how we start them?
World Backup Day. I don't know what that means either. Howard sent that, and he was saying it was pure coincidence that Easter happened to fall on all of these days. You know, the White House could have just as easily said, remember, everybody, it's National Clams on the Half Shell Day.
Very exciting.
Yes, you in the back.
The president, though, did offer Easter thoughts yesterday with the bunny. He was in the background. Thank you to the goose for making me aware of this audio.
Yeah.
And by the way, say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here. They can see you.
Oyster bunny. The oyster bunny.
The oyster bunny.
Yeah, he was right
oyster
there.
Bunny. Remember a few years ago, the bunny, they had to drag the bunny away because the bunny was starting to grill Biden about some stuff.
No, no, no. The bunny was the distraction.
The bunny
piece
dragged Biden away because the press was starting to hector Biden about some real life
waving
information.
Waving his hands.
And the bunny's going, come on, come on.
This way, Mr. President.
Let's go over here. Take you back to the hut. Let's go. The hutch or whatever the bunnies, wherever the bunnies live.
It's the oyster bunny.
Hey, it's oyster. It's the oyster bunny. Hey, how you doing?
The eggs.
Hey.
Give him a pardon.
You know where Biden celebrated Easter? Where I would have if I was president.
Nantucket.
Camp David.
Oh. Wait a minute. Didn't they do an Easter egg hunt?
That's today, Kenny. It's happening as we speak.
The day after Easter?
Well, I suppose on Sunday, Kenny, the White House staff is with their
families. Why are you talking in that tone to me? I asked a legitimate question, and you're treating me like I just came out of the womb.
Well, because any reasonable moron would know the answer to the question.
You wouldn't think that it would be on a Friday or the Saturday before Easter? You just assume it's after Easter? Do we do that on Christmas, too? Celebrate the day after? Do we celebrate on July 5th? Maybe we celebrate on June 1st, Memorial Day?
Because all the candy is discounted. Maybe they wanted to try to get it cheaper.
That's not a legitimate question in your mind?
It's a very good question, Kenny, and I apologize.
I don't like your tone.
If you were offended.
I don't like your tone, and yeah, I was offended.
Seems to me they always do it on a Monday, maybe on a Saturday. You know, I don't know. But also I learned
that... The truth is, I don't care.
No religious messages were to have been inscribed on any of the eggs.
Oh, like he is risen or alleluia. You can say it now. You can say it now. You can say alleluia. Lent is over.
Why couldn't you say it?
Say it during Lent. Don't say it during Lent.
Why do you assume that the whole world is Catholic, Matthew? Well, what is that weird assumption?
Now he's after you. He's off my back.
What kind of tone was that? I don't approve of that tone. Yeah. Whatever that tone was.
Good. I'm glad you noticed. I'm not going to sit here and let you
badmouth the oyster bunny. Yeah, but I don't like your tone.
Can I tell you something?
Okay. Let's get back on track here.
Yeah. Where is common sense?
I don't know. It's supposed
to
be
not
here.
Over here.
It's supposed to be here.
I was reading my paper guy has done a bang up job. I got the papers today at 8:15. That's pretty good.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. That's yesterday they came at 10:30 and I ran out to say he has risen.
Aren't they supposed to be there at like 5 in the morning?
Right. We must have a big route.
I have a very brief story about paper delivery.
I was going to go into a topic.
Okay, but I was at the dollar store.
Anyway.
I was at the dollar store on Saturday.
Okay.
And there was a lady that was there with one of her children. She was getting Easter things.
It's a long story.
Yes. And then she said at the counter, I have to go finish my paper route.
Okay.
This was at about 12 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's not good.
And she still had I don't know how many papers to deliver, but she was at the dollar store.
Yeah,
not what delivering paper, her papers
Matthew?
First.
What newspaper?
I didn't inquire. I chose not to engage.
Back when
you
America,
thought you'd just bring the story.
Yeah. Hopefully, she's a listener while she's delivering.
Back when America was a real country.
Yeah, you were saying something, Joe. Go ahead.
What happened to common sense? There's a good line for you.
I was reading the lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, and the only thing that leaped out at me is, where's the common sense? Mm. The environmental protection, and I have a solution. I have an answer to this. The Environmental Protection Agency, and remember, they're unelected. These are bureaucrats. They chose Good Friday to roll out an electric truck mandate. They did this on Good Friday. The Wall Street Journal surmises to have fewer people notice. Biden officials well know the damage they are doing, but the damage is in the name of climate change. Mm-hmm. EPA's new emission standards for heavy-duty trucks will effectively require that electric semis make up an increasing share of manufacturers' sales from 2027 through 2032, similar to its recent rule for passenger cars. The difference is that the truck mandate is more costly and more fanciful. EVs make up less than 1% of U.S. heavy-duty truck sales. Now, bear these figures in mind.
How much?
Less than 1%.
Okay.
And nearly all of that is in California, which heavily subsidizes and mandates their purchase. So if it's so great, start with that. If it's so great, why wouldn't we be doing this of our own free will? None of us want to destroy the earth. But then again, if you're a GLer, you don't think driving is destroying the earth.
Right.
But in California, the electric trucks are heavily subsidized and mandated. The new EPA rule will require electric models to account for 60% of new urban delivery trucks and 25% of long-haul tractor sales by 2032. That's only 7, 6, 8 years from now. That's not long. The harm is predictable in return for no climate benefit. Now, can anyone begin to tell me what the harm is before I continue? Because it should leap out at you.
Well, I would think it would be the enormous amount of batteries that they would have to carry on board, far more than a regular sedan.
That's one.
The heavy weight, they're going to do more damage to the road, that weight. I, other than those two, I'm coming up blank.
They'll carry fewer goods because of the weight.
Okay,
that
sure.
That will make products harder to achieve, will drive up costs.
You'll need more of them on the road, right?
You'll need more, resulting in more congestion.
Yep.
Start with
imagine a future, the freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves.
Well, I'd like to give
and the buses
F-word.
That take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles.
The F-word being freight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Start with the fact that no electric long-haul tractors are currently in mass production.
Oh, wow.
Most electric trucks cannot go more than 170 miles on a charge. Electric semis require bigger and heavier batteries, which means they must carry lighter loads to avoid damaging the roads. Fleet operators will have to use more trucks to transport the same number of goods.
Right.
This will increase vehicle congestion, especially around ports and distribution centers. EPA says its rule will reduce pollution in environmental justice communities near major truck freight routes. B as in S.
Environmental
justice.
Justice. Communities?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So if you live near a truck distribution center, you apparently live in an environmental justice community. But more traffic will result in more pollution. Electric trucks also generate more soot from their wear and tear on roads and vehicle braking.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go through more tires, right?
Power generation and transmission will have to massively expand to support millions of new so-called zero-emission trucks. An electric semi consumes about 7 times as much electricity as a single charge as a typical home does in a day. Truck charging depots can draw as much power from the grid as small cities. By 2030, electric trucks are projected to consume about 11% of California's electricity. The additional power to fuel electric trucks won't come from renewables, which cannot be built fast enough to meet demand. Most trucks will recharge at night when solar is not available, since drivers don't want to waste prime daylight driving hours. Let me stop right there. Wouldn't it make sense, and wouldn't they find support, if the manufacturers of these big trucks said, we're not doing it?
No, we're not. Yeah, that makes sense.
Why don't they stand up and say, no, this doesn't make sense?
What power does the EPA have to just pull this new rule out of their fanny and then enforce it? They're not lawmakers. They're not elected officials.
Because
how do they have that power?
Because they have the backing of a Democratic administration, which would support this mandate.
So, in theory, then, the person in the Oval Office has control over the EPA.
I would say so. It's okay. A Nixon-founded body, by the way. Yes, you.
To answer your question, wasn't it the Ford CEO? Didn't he stand up and say this is a...
I don't know if the Ford guy did. Toyota did.
Toyota did.
I thought Ford did as well.
I think Ford, some of those vans that Ford makes are electric. Joe, just for the heck of it, and I'm hoping you have a ballpark figure for me here. For the heck of it, I looked up a brand new 2024 Peterbilt 389, which is a giant semi-truck.
Right.
I can't find mileage on it, so I'm assuming it's brand new, being a 2024, $248,000.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suppose these new electric rigs are going to cost? At least double that, wouldn't you say?
Yes. So therefore, why can't the CEO of Peterbilt and Mack and the rest of them go to Washington?
Volvo, yeah.
And say, you make no sense. This cannot be done in any sensible way. Some 1.4 million chargers will have to be installed by 2032 to achieve EPA's mandate. That's 15,000 chargers a month.
Oof.
This will require major grid upgrades where there are shortages of critical components such as transformers. It could take 3 to 8 years to develop transmission and substations in many places to support truck chargers. Truckers estimate the EPA rule will cost utilities $370 billion to upgrade their networks.
Oh my God.
On top of that, truckers will have to invest $620 billion in their own charging infrastructure. That doesn't include the cost of electric trucks, Kenny nailed it, which are typically 2 to 3 times more expensive than diesel cabs.
So 250 times 3. $750?
Mm-hmm.
750
Okay, here's where you go. Replacing diesel trucks with electric will cost the industry tens of billions each year. Truckers will pass on these costs to customers, meaning U.S. manufacturers and retailers, which will ultimately pass them on to Americans in higher prices. This is President Biden's trickle-down economics. Let me stop right there.
Okay.
I wish to address this, and I think America should, from just this standpoint of common sense and rationality. Take the climate out of it. There will be no discernible climate effect. That's nonsense. But that's what they're hinging this on. Well, what are they doing? They're wrecking Western civilization. It has nothing to do with the environment. You cannot prove to anyone that switching to electric trucks is going to do anything, that you can't. So therefore, what we're witnessing in our cultural decline is that political urgencies for the sake of remaining in power or to take over power trump common sense. We used to be a land of common sense and rational behavior. We can get to that in a minute, too, with the infrastructure problems. Now we're not a land of common sense and rational behavior. We're a land of chasing whimsical and arbitrary dreams because, A, there are people who think that will change the climate, which it won't, and B, because it's going to wreck the civilization that we have. It's going to wreck the economy. It's going to wreck entrepreneurship. It's going to wreck competitiveness. It's going to tear apart the fabric that made us the United States in the first place.
Hmm.
This can't work. So I want the manufacturers of the trucks to stand up. I wanted the car manufacturers years ago to stand
up. Put your foot down.
And say, no, we're a private business here. For all I know, the government doesn't give any money to Peterbilt. Maybe they do. I don't know. But if they don't, Peterbilt ought to stand up and say, we reject this.
Well,
we're in the business of making trucks, and we're not going to make them the way you want us to make them.
Do you think, it just occurred to me, do you think the end goal is government controlling the trucking industry? It's already so heavily regulated. Is this just another step in them controlling every part of our lives, including the delivery of goods?
Yes. It's part of undoing capitalism. I don't see how there's any other way you can look at it.
Because it's just so blatantly clear that what they're doing is asinine. I mean, every step, mythical step that the United States makes forward as far as climate change, it's immediately three steps back when you figure in what China and India and all these other countries are doing to the environment.
Plus, you could go on the Google right now. And you can find 10 articles about this country is not going to have enough electrical generation for the plans these people have.
Part of me wants to say that this is so absurd, Joe, that this will never happen. It seems like it's the idea of a bunch of kindergarten kids just sitting around. Well, maybe developmentally disabled kindergarten kids sitting around trying to solve problems. It's so absurd that it doesn't seem possible, but yet the things we've seen in the last
It's so sad to see this. It's so sad to see a once great functioning country succumb to this BS.
Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Stupidity.
It's just horrible. Did you have ham yesterday?
I had some ham.
And would you please tell us what kind of ham that was?
I had a 17-pound double-smoked bone-in ham from the one and only Grundhoffer's.
How was it?
It was perfect.
One of the best you've ever had, I bet.
It had a nice crust on the outside.
Oh.
I had it in the roasting thing at 325 for however long. It was juicy.
Did you get it at the new White Bear store in Birch Lake Square?
Yes, I met Jake in person on Saturday afternoon.
That's Spencer's nephew.
Yes, and...
Was the store busy?
Yes, of course it was, and I scooped up rookie burgers, and it was horseradish jalapeno beef sticks.
Oh.
Did you go to the dollar store before or after Grundhoffer's?
Before.
Got it.
Yeah, I was going to help her deliver those papers. But I will say this. I bought 6 beef sticks.
Yeah.
There's one left. My son Gabriel is in love, I think.
Really?
He's going to dump metal for a beef stick.
He likes the beef sticks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It's Grundhoffer's old-fashioned meats.
Oh,
I'm sure if you had your Easter ham from Grundhoffer's, you would have the same report as Rookie. They are a delightful double-smoked ham. And there are 3 Grundhoffer's locations. The flagship is just north of Hugo on Highway 61.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the store in Forest Lake, right off 35E on 97. It's just east of 35E on 97. And the newest store on Highway 96 in White Bear in Birch Lake Square. They're all jam-packed with the best of the Grundhoffer's products.
Mm.
There's a BOGO offer on brats. Buy one, get one, so you can try the different flavors, because there's hundreds of flavors.
Allow yourself time, because you just sit and stare.
Well, it's a meat emporium.
Right, you're sitting and staring at the different flavors.
Well, I'm glad that worked out for you.
I bet
it was good. Did you save enough for sandwiches?
Yes. Yeah, we got a whole bunch.
It's the best lunch of the year is the Easter ham sandwich from Grundhoffer's.
I'll agree.
All right.
But now she's going to make some
and ham
pea
salad.
Soup.
Well, pea soup, ham salad.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's all good.
Grundhoffer's old-fashioned meats.
not a Garage Logic Town Council member, here's what you're missing.
You guys want a review of Williams Band Concert? Oh, it's even better than that. They played the Celine Dion song.
Oh my God. Bang my head.
What? Yeah.
I see you.
Oh my God. What does he play? The triangle? Does he play the triangle?
Trumpet. Oh. Look at him right there.
Thatch Moe. That's Chuck Mangione.
That's why band teachers are insane.
Kenny, it's funny you say that. I played golf with a guy, and he was a band teacher, and he was nuts.
Yeah.
And every band teacher I've ever met is crazy. They've been driven crazy.
Because they've been having to listen
they've been
to
hearing
that
for this 5 years.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
The keeper of common sense.
Using Seafoam motor treatment in your fuel tank, that's going to give you an advantage others don't have. It also gives you one less thing to worry about, and that's the true advantage. A lot of people, mostly non-GLers, you know, the folks that don't listen to us every day, they might not realize that most preventable engine problems start right there in the fuel system. That fuel we're burning these days, that stuff is crap. It's our job as GLers to spread the gospel of Seafoam. Seafoam has risen. It cleans harmful gum and varnish from the entire fuel system, helps your engine run better, start faster, last longer, the whole deal. It also works that same magic on all kinds of engines, including your lawnmower, your weed whip, your outboard. Doesn't matter. As long as it's burning gas and or diesel, Seafoam is the ticket. The best part of Seafoam is its availability. This stuff is everywhere. And the true believers, you always keep an extra can in the car. Truly a wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Our friend, Seafoam.
IRS tax credits for electric trucks aren't conditioned on the source of the battery material. So expect most to come from China. By the way, China's BYD was California's top-selling electric truck maker in 2022.
How? These guys are so stupid. They don't see the irony that we're doing everything we can to save the planet, but we're getting our batteries from the worst polluting nation on the globe.
Biden officials say Chinese green technology manufacturers are flooding the U.S. market. Yeah, but their mandates and subsidies are the reason. Two U.S. truck manufacturers, which are pleading for more handouts. Well, there's the problem. Let me stop right there. Instead of pleading for more handouts, why don't they say, we're not doing this? What can happen to them?
Yeah, nut up.
Right.
Let's
we're
go here.
Do it.
Well, I suppose they could
grow a pair.
I suppose they could be so, what, penal? I'm sure the government would have a means to penalize them, make life difficult for them, in regulatory and licensing issues.
Okay, so you don't have to come out of the gate swinging, firing both barrels. How about if you just go, excuse me, can we have a conversation?
Sir, could I have 5 minutes of your time?
Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah.
I want to run some numbers past you.
Here's another one. EPA projects its rule will avoid 1 billion metric tons in CO2 emissions. Could I have the here's today's environmental statistic, please?
Yes.
What a bunch of nonsense this is. How do you get 1 billion tons out of 0.04% of the atmosphere?
Here's today's environmental statistic.
That's math. That's
here's math. Another one. EPA projects its rule will avoid 1 billion metric tons in CO2 emissions from 2027 through 2055, about as much emissions as from China and India, about as much as emissions rose. Let me start over. About as much as emissions from China and India rose last year alone. The truck mandate will do nothing to reduce global temperatures. Nothing. EPA's press release, issued on Good Friday, remember, highlighted laudatory statements from left-wing groups, including the Hip Hop Caucus, which claims to use cultural expression to dismantle oppressive systems. This all comes back to the oppressed and the oppressor. Oh, mother of God, we're in such sorry condition. So the administration is oppressing American businesses and consumers with the destructive regulation to curry favor with hip-hoppers. Such are the administration's priorities.
Yeah.
Why does the guy in Wichita, Kansas, with the wife and two kids, and he's an insurance agent, why does he have to subsidize the government's mandate to build electric trucks when he hasn't had a say in it?
Shouldn't have to.
And they'll say, well, you had your say in it. You voted for whatever president it is or whatever. No, he has no say in the bureaucracy. Either do I and either do you. None of us do in the bureaucracy of the EPA. Hmm. This is sad. This strikes me as sad. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on
it's
sad.
Not, it's very unhappy. It's very sorrowful.
Sorrowful.
That's a mystery, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorrowful mystery. Mm. But sorrowful's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sourdough Slim.
Yep.
That's not sourful. That's sour.
I had some really good sourdough yesterday that my sister-in-law made.
Sour Patch Kid?
Yep. You know?
Always comes down to food. We are.
California-based electric. This is from Fox Business News. The previous was from the Wall Street Journal. I've read the Wall Street Journal long enough to be completely comfortable and confident that that editorial was not the Wall Street Journal lashing out at the folly of climate change, although it's mentioned in here. It was lashing out at the complete idiocy of this, the insanity, mm-hmm. the financial insanity.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a loaf of bread cost, Matt?
$3-4.
Yeah, I'd say if you're getting Country Hearth, it's probably going to be $3.49.
Okay, what's it going to cost if it's going to be shipped in a truck that has to stop 15 times between here and the manufacturer to charge?
It's going to be up to six in no
time. And it's
time.
Not going to have, they're not going to have as many loaves on the truck.
No. You're going to be paying $6 for a loaf of bread.
Not a California. California-based electric vehicle startup Fisker slashed the prices of its vehicles as it fights to avoid bankruptcy after a potential deal another automaker fell through. The manufacturer's suggested retail price for the 2023 Ocean electric SUV lineup in the U.S., which is equipped with Fisker's 2024 Ocean OS software version 2.0, fell by tens of thousands of dollars. Fisker lowered the MSRP for the 2023 Ocean Extreme trim from $61,499 to $37,499, the company said last week. The 2023 Ultra trim will be priced at $34,999, down from $52,999. And the 2023 Sport will be priced at $24,999, down from $39,000.
Woo!
The Fisker Ocean, the first all-electric SUV from the American automaker, is exhibited at Mobile. That's a cut line.
I'm looking at one now.
The company said some of the Ocean vehicles have as much as $7,000 worth of additional options, which are included in the discounted prices, which took effect Friday, just this past Good Friday. Fisker said it is strategically positioning the all-electric Ocean SUV to be a more affordable and compelling EV choice, competitively available to EV buyers in the broadest possible market. Okay. Still, industry analysts say the company could fall victim to bankruptcy. It's sad to see any company go bankrupt. Well, it's sad to see the condition of this country. It's sad to see any company go bankrupt, but we expect to see more of them in the EV space, Thomas Hayes, chairman at hedge fund Great Hill Capital, told Fox News, Fox Business. At the end of the day, it is unclear whether people actually want EVs or they simply want Teslas. Tesla said there is a difference because one is a commodity and one, Tesla, is a brand, lifestyle, and ideology. I think it's the wrong ideology, but to each his own.
They're not doing well either. In fact, I have a story in the news about that.
Yeah, good. I mean, not good, but I'm glad you got it in the news.
What I'm seeing, Joe, in Car and Driver is the 2024 Fisker Ocean at 41,437.
And this one, I can sell you, I got to talk to my manager, but I can come back and tell you that I can sell you an Ocean Extreme, according to this story, for $37,499.
Well, will you take my trade-in?
I have to run it past my people.
It's a Toyota Prius with $150,000 on it.
No, but we will shoot it. We'll take it out back and just shoot at it. Electric car maker, that's another cut line.
Kind of like the looks of their pickup, but...
they've got a pickup, do they?
It's a tiny pickup. It's called the Alaska.
Joe, 360 miles per charge, the Alaska. Yes. I'm looking that up now.
Yeah.
How much?
360.
360 miles.
If Fisker files for bankruptcy, it would be the second auto startup from CEO Henrik Fisker to fail. Fisker Automotive filed for bankruptcy in 2013.
Do you know how frustrating that would be for me to drive to Bismarck, because I'd only be 60 miles out of Bismarck and I'd have to stop and fuel up the old vehicle at Lincoln City? Oh.
So can you go further or is it farther?
Farther. Farther is distance. Farther is in addition to.
If you slow it down, if John got off the freeway, what is it in North Dakota, Johnny? 80? If you got off the freeway on a trunk highway and did 55, does that mean you're, you know what I mean? Like saving gas, can you save electricity?
The question you're asking, Kenny, is do you use more juice the faster you go?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. I don't want one if they get the range up to 5,000 miles. I just don't want a government car. They make no sense to me. I just don't want one. Yep. If you want one, that's okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not comfortable with the name Fisker for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
You brought her.
You Fisker?
Have at it.
I saw a semi broke down on GL Road in Wyoming.
There is a GL Road in Wyoming.
Which did not allow me to take a picture of said sign.
I've been on the, so you were on I-80.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Coming back home.
Did you go through that pass in and out of Salt Lake City on 80?
Yeah, I drove around that, but boy, the old Continental Divide, that's tough for the old lungs to get through a guy with asthma.
Yeah, you gotta breathe, you know.
Thank God you're not a smoker.
I couldn't imagine, in all honesty.
Wait, is that 80 or 70?
It's 80.
That might be 70.
It's 80.
It's 80? Yeah. All right.
Yep.
May I tell you?
You may.
May I tell you that the garage door is probably the most underrated mechanism in your house?
Great curb appeal for that house, the garage door.
Oh, of course. And Precision Garage Door would help you find a new door if you need one. So when Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities is not doing preventive maintenance, stuff breaks. Garage door parts don't work as well in the cold. Now, we're phasing out of the cold, and still you could get a nice spring tune-up for your garage door. And you know when the garage door goes, because those broken springs, they're loud.
Yeah.
They're loud. So whether it's a broken spring, rollers, new doors, or the opener, Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities will fix you up. They are the best. They call you ahead of time. They don't charge more for weekends. They cover it all. People love to work there, and they have I have the wrong sheet of paper here, but now I have the right sheet of paper. It's Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin. You can find them at precisiondoormn.com. That's precisiondoormn.com. Or call them and arrange an appointment. And like I said, they'll text you when they're an hour out, 30 minutes out. They usually have everything they need, so it's a one-time visit. Yeah. 612-263-6985. Put that in your context. Precision Door, 612-263-6985. Talk fast.
Super, super fast.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores, sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Soucheray.
One of the best parts about coming back home? My water.
Oh, yeah.
I missed my water when I was gone. I did. I missed my water.
They got good tap water in Arizona?
No, you got to buy it at the store. I don't have ever have to do that when I'm home.
You were renting a home. They didn't have a faucet?
Yeah, but I'm not drinking that swill.
No. Okay.
That's why
I missed. Water. That's desert water. It's dry.
Straight out of a cactus. Hofferman Water in Connecticut. If you are in the market of making the switch like I did years ago, I cannot recommend them highly enough. Hofferman Water is the absolute best. You can go on their website right now, hoffermanwater.com, or you can just call them directly to set up that free water analysis today at 612-895-2440. You get that new system installed. And Viola, your showers are better. Your laundry is better. Your cooking is better. Your drinking water, your ice, everything is better with Hofferman and Connecticut. So do me a favor. Get on that schedule today and have them come up for that free water analysis. And like I said, you can check out their website for every single system that they have to offer, whether it's a water softener, an iron rust or odor filtration system, or a brand new drinking water system. They will take care of you and all of your water needs at Hofferman Water. And that's because they've been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please tell them that you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
John, let me interrupt you for a moment. The EPA's mandate to build electric trucks is a very good example of Sensum's razor, which is defined as follows. The absence of sound common sense related to those within the political class who advance public matters, which are disguised as something for the greater good, but in actuality are for their own personal and ideological benefit. That's exactly what the mandate of electric trucks is. Here's John Haidt.
You know what, though? That could almost be 50% of the political things that are out
there. That's right. We live in sad times.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. This update brought to you by North American Banking Company. An expected two-week jury trial began this morning for a Minneapolis man accused of stabbing several people on Wisconsin's Apple River and killing a 17-year-old. Prosecutors allege that back in July of 2022, the now 54-year-old Nikolai Mew of Prior Lake got into a confrontation with a group of people who were tubing on the river at the time. Four adults of that group were injured, and a 17-year-old Isaac Schumann died from his injuries. Court papers show when Mew first spoke with investigators, he told police he had a snorkel and was looking for a cell phone that went in the river, telling police a group attacked him and put him in what he called self-defense mode. And prosecutors say Mew pulled a knife from his pocket and lashed out at a group during a confrontation. Investigators allege Mew was bothering a group of teenagers on their tubes when court papers say another group on tubes stopped to help them out. Witnesses say Mew then punched or slapped a woman that was in the group confronting him, and Mew was punched by a man and fell into the river, which caused him to pull the knife and start stabbing people. Mew now faces six charges, including homicide, attempted homicide, and battery. He pleaded not guilty in September of 2022. Investigators say they plan on driving home to jurors that Mew had a chance to leave the fight instead of continuing to escalate it.
I ain't never, remind me to never take a tube down that river.
Yeah. Oh, Cannon River?
No, this was Apple River.
I know, but them's good times on the Cannon.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
John, I was reading this morning that, I don't remember if it was the defense or the prosecution saying that there might be cell phone video of the incident, right, that could help this?
I did not see that. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Okay, because my question was going to be, how is it possible we haven't seen the cell phone footage?
Wasn't it better when we went down the Apple River and all we cared about was bringing all our beer and booze?
Yep.
There's no wallets, no IDs, no cell phones.
Right.
Shots fired.
Simpler times, Kenny. Simpler times.
You're absolutely blackout drunk before you get to the first bend in the river.
Mm-hmm. I've never done the trip.
And nobody gets out of that river to go to the bathroom.
Nope. Kenny, I like your tone. I like your tone right now. I like your tone.
A shots fired call on Saturday night in Burnsville resulted in an hours-long standoff that ended with a woman being arrested and leaving two officers with minor injuries. According to Burnsville city officials, police called to the 15800 block of Buck Hill Road in Burnsville about 8:30 in the night for a report of a gunshot being heard coming from a residence. When they responded, police were able to determine where the shot came from and believe the person suspected of firing was still inside. Due to a public safety issue, a shelter-in-place order was given and a few nearby homes evacuated. Negotiations with the suspect, identified as a female, then began, lasted through the overnight hours. She was arrested about 4:30 in the morning Sunday with the use of a canine, taken to an area hospital with injuries not believed to be life-threatening. In addition, two officers with the Tri-City Tactical Team were taken to an area hospital for medical attention after getting what are described by city officials as minor injuries.
We don't have her name?
No, not yet.
All right.
Meanwhile, Woodbury police say one person is in custody after barricading himself into a home last night overnight. According to police, officers called to the 6100 block of Tahoe Road for a disturbance around midnight this morning. When police got there, they were told by people inside the disturbance had been resolved, so officers left. However, they were called to the same address less than 2 hours later for a disturbance and were told a male inside had a weapon, was threatening both himself and others. Everyone but the suspect was able to escape with help from police. As of this time, it's not clear how many people were inside the home. Officers then began evacuating neighboring townhomes out of safety and brought in the Washington County SWAT team. Just after 6:30 this morning, Woodbury police said the barricaded subject had been arrested, adding he'll be evaluated for injuries he received before officers arrived. That incident still being investigated. Minnesota legislature returns to work today after the Easter break. They've got about 7 weeks left to finish up their work. They adjourn, or they're supposed to adjourn anyway, on May 20th. Items still on their agenda, there's a lot of them, including sports betting, cannabis, voting bills, as well as maintaining the state's roads and bridges. They're also talking about an end-of-life options act that would allow an earlier death for patients with less than 6 months to live. It's had several hearings in the House, but it's still not expected to become law this year. While House leaders have said they're seeing a lot of public interest in the issue, they've also said there aren't enough votes, especially in the Senate, where Democrats hold just a one-vote majority and at least one Democratic senator is opposed.
That's got to be a tough call.
That's got to be a slippery slope with these screwballs that run us.
Ma, we know you only got 6 months, but we're going to call it a day right now. No, I'm feeling fine, really.
No, no, we're going to get it out of the way, Ma. Hold up. Yeah.
Let's just say your goodbyes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Norm Coleman, wasn't he told to go home and prepare for the end about 3-4 years ago?
Well, if that...
He was getting close.
I don't, but he's fine now.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's just fine now.
Yeah.
Nice story in your paper yesterday, Joe, about Matt Langer. Matt is the captain of the Minnesota State Patrol. He's leaving the patrol on Friday, going to work for the International Association of Chiefs of Police. Troopers have seen more dangerous driving behavior in recent years, he said. 488 traffic fatalities, the most in the state since 2007 in 2021. Preliminary information shows 414 people have died in crashes throughout the state last year. As he points out, the State Patrol's main job is keeping people on the highway safe. They have also faced other scrutiny now from lawsuits that stemmed from the 2020 civil unrest after George Floyd was killed, to a state trooper recently criminally charged with fatally shooting Ricky Cobb II during a traffic stop in Minneapolis. 3 weeks after the Hennepin County attorney charged Cobb, Langer announced he's leaving the State Patrol. He said the laundering charges were not at all related to why he's leaving. In fact, he said the case tugged on him to stay. He said he can't pass up the job, though, that he's going to be taking. The 46-year-old Langer grew up in Falcon Heights and graduated from Roseville High School, and among other degrees, has his master's in public and nonprofit administration from Metro State University. Langer is one of the two longest-serving chiefs of the State Patrol, along with Colonel Roger Letting, who was chief from 1979 to 89. Langer was named acting chief in March 2014, officially appointed chief January 2015. He worked in various roles previously, including as a lieutenant, the State Patrol's public information officer, and the assistant chief.
John, let me read an email that's very germane to that story.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, thanks for your words of support and understanding for what MSP Trooper Ryan Londrigan is going through. I was a police officer for 37 years, first with Bloomington PD, then with the Minnesota BCA. I and most police officers are all for accountability. If we break the law, overstep our bounds, or do a poor job at something, we should be held accountable for that failing. Here's the thing, though. the thing, though. There's no clear formula for navigating some of the violent circumstances in which we find ourselves. Sometimes the assignment of the moment, articulated in realistic terms, would be rush to a crisis, disregard personal risk, and deal with whatever confronts you there. Save those who need saving, arrest those who need to be arrested, use force if necessary. It's a credit to all of the people I work with that a task with that much danger and responsibility was not too much for them. Now it seems that another clause has been added to that assignment. When you've done what you thought was your job, we'll review how you did. Race will be a factor in our analysis. If we disagree with your actions, we'll terrorize your family, make you sell your house to pay for a defense attorney, and attempt to send you to prison. Even the sense of mission I felt in saving and protecting people would not be enough to make me willing to face that threat. When I got the job in Bloomington, I had to compete with hundreds of candidates. Now departments struggle to get a handful of good applicants for a job with so many uncertain outcomes. Good luck to us all, Terry.
Huh.
Thank you, sir.
Along those lines, I would like to congratulate Commander Tim Flynn and Mr. Wes Denning on their promotion to Deputy Chief of the St. Paul Police Department.
Really?
Very recently, yes.
Is Wes Dennis's kid?
Yes. Great guy.
And Tim is Vince's brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there they go. Good for them.
One's a Cretan kid, one's an Academy kid.
Well, the Academy kid probably went through a good welding program.
Yeah, a little trade school over there on 35.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we take a short break before we get to national and international stuff?
Okay, how about if I just...
why don't you start the damn show and I don't have to listen to this crap?
Hi, Pat.
Yes, sir.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Soucheray.
Let me tell you something. I got the blues. I got the earwax blues.
New State Fair song.
Matthew. The rest is up to you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Woke up this morning.
No. Landscape season.
Everybody
here
wakes up in the morning.
It's
grab a handful of wax.
No. We're doing this right now.
Once the snow's gone, landscape season will resume. It's already underway, so if you're considering a project this summer, you should have been on the phone with ProTurf already, or log on to professionalturf.com. They're going to sit down with you and help you design your project. They use digital photography and landscape imaging. That means you'll be able to see your project completed. You know, they're going to take a few pictures of your backyard and work their voodoo and put a hex on it and turn it into magic, and it's going to be incredible. And it really doesn't matter what you're thinking about as far as a project. It could be little, it could be big. They can do anything. They can make anything happen. Pavers, natural stone patios, fire pits, driveways, walkways, walls. They do it all. Gardening related, mulch beds. Oh, water features. You need a pond in your backyard? They can do a pond, a little stream, a waterfall, fountain, whatever. You can upgrade that environment in your backyard. And the best part, force your equity up. That really, really helps. They've been doing this, Superior Lawn, well, three of them, Lawn Care, Landscape, and Irrigation, since 1982. Let the pros at Professional Turf design and install a landscape and outdoor living space that you'll truly, truly love. Log on right now, professionalturf.com.
In other news, on the Ukraine-Russian front, Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed his annual spring conscription decree, calling up a new swath of young Russians for compulsory military service. This is a big one, 150,000 citizens, according to the decree. The move is in line with Russia's longstanding policy of mandatory military service for men aged 18 and above. It's announced twice a year, each spring and autumn. From the Middle East, senior U.S. officials are set to meet virtually today with their Israeli counterparts for talk of U.S. concerns about Israel's plan for military operation in Rafah, the city in southern Gaza where displaced Palestinians are concentrated. The virtual sessions follow last week's Israeli cancellation of a face-to-face meeting President Biden had requested between his top aides and those of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu backed out of the meeting after the United States abstained from a UN resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Donald Trump yesterday urging his followers to eternally resent the GOP House members who resigned recently. He wrote on Truth Social, "Never forget our cowards and weaklies, such a disgrace," aimed at Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin. The former president's wrath presumably targeted both Gallagher and Representative Ken Buck because their departures compromised the thin Republican majority in the House. On Easter Sunday, the former president posted over 70 messages on his social media platform, criticizing his political enemies and sharing press coverage about himself. Meanwhile, Trump drew criticism over the weekend for posting a video on social media that contains the image of a hog-tied President Biden painted on the tailgate of a passing truck. Opponents of the former president are calling for Secret Service to investigate. For their part, the Secret Service released a statement saying it does not confirm or comment on any matters of protective intelligence or what we're investigating.
Okay, I have something on that. It would have been two summers ago. I saw that. I was making daily trips to Fargo, and I saw that on the back of a pickup truck coming back home. It's an image like a, you know, when they do, what's it called, when they don't paint your car.
Wrap.
It looks like a wrap that's just on the tailgate. And it's Biden, and what it looks like is the inside of the box, like the tailgate isn't there.
I've seen that, yeah.
And he's tied up and gagged, and it's the funniest thing I had ever seen.
Well, it's basically uncivilized.
Well, of course it is, and that's why I took a whole bunch of pictures of it.
Yeah. Send them to everybody.
As soon as he got out of the coma, I showed it to him, and my God, he had a great laugh.
Meanwhile, speaking of Truth Social, Trump Media and Technology Group said in a new Securities and Exchange Commission filing this morning, the company lost more than $58 million last year. Its revenue in the last 3 months of the year dropped below $1 million. The price of the company has fallen about 24% since last Thursday. The market wasn't open Friday because of Good Friday. The drop shaved almost $1 billion off the company's new market value. Trump Media, which makes money exclusively through advertising on Truth Social, has struggled to gain a broad audience. Truth Social's website peaked this month at 277,000 U.S. visitors on last Tuesday.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't he sell a portion a while ago for court cases and whatnot?
He didn't sell it. It was a valuation of the company, and that's the billion comes off that.
I see.
The billion that it's lost. Because it right away it went boom, way up, and now it's lost 25% almost in three days. Chronic pain is a debilitating condition that affects millions of people worldwide, impacting their quality of life and daily functioning, but recent research suggests the consequences of chronic pain may extend far beyond the physical realm, potentially accelerating the aging process of the brain. The concerning new study published in the journal Nature Mental Health sheds light on the complex relationship between chronic muscular skeletal pain and brain aging. It results from knee osteoarthritis, which appears to be the worst culprit. That's called KOA. KOA, a common condition characterized by the gradual breakdown of cartilage in the knee joint, leading to pain, stiffness, and decreased mobility. While the physical symptoms of KOA are well known, the potential impact on cognitive function and brain aging has remained largely unexplored until now.
Your knees hurt?
Mm-mm. Okay. Not at all.
I was wondering what your problem was, but it's not your knees.
It's not my knees. I'm going to the skin doctor this afternoon, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But that makes sense, doesn't it, John? Basically, I think what you said with all those big words is it's exhausting. It's mentally exhausting, right?
Yeah. I think that's probably exactly what it means.
Wears you down.
I ain't got no knee pain.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you play football?
Well, I was a pro for a while.
It would hold true for all sorts of pain. Wasn't knee pain just an example they gave?
Knee pain was the one that they said appeared to have the most effect.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, I've had a pain in my rear end for the better part of the last... Just kidding.
Hey now.
The ranks of would-be Tesla buyers in the United States are shrinking, according to a survey by market intelligence firm Caliber, which attributed the drop in part to CEO Elon Musk's polarizing persona. While Tesla continued to post strong sales growth last year, helped by aggressive price cuts, they're expected to report weak quarterly sales tomorrow. Caliber's consideration score for Tesla, provided exclusively to Reuters, fell to 31% in February, less than half its high of 70% in November 2021, when it started tracking consumer interest in the brand. Tesla's consideration score fell 8 percentage points from January, even as Caliber's score for Mercedes, BMW, and Audi, which produce gas as well as EV models, went up to around 47%. Tesla did not respond to a request for comment. Musk in the past has blamed high interest rates for curbing consumer demand for big-ticket items like cars. Caliber cited strong associations between Tesla's reputation and that of Musk for the scores. Musk recently been criticized for retweeting anti-Semitic and white nationalist posts on his X website.
Rook, look up what percentage of European cars enter the port of Baltimore. I have it in my mind that it's a very significant percentage, and I'm wondering what that's going to do to supply chains.
Well, it's,
it would make sense that the percentage of Japanese cars would come into the L.A. area, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sure. 4 days ago from the BBC, nearly 850,000 cars and light trucks flowed through the port of Baltimore in 2023.
Wow. Almost a million.
Yeah.
Wow. Where are they going to go, I wonder? Because they ain't getting into Baltimore right now.
Well, what are the other major shipping ports
suppose,
on the East Coast?
New York? Well, Virginia would have an area, New York.
But as soon as they get that steel out of the way, they'll be able to squeak through.
But did you see the time they're saying it's going to take?
They need to call Minnesota and find out what we did.
Yeah, it's a good time to talk about our lack of infrastructure, but we will when John's done. Or are you done?
It's up to you, Joe. Yeah. It's your show.
John. You're done. Thank you.
Yeah,
infrastructure.
Welcome.
Your thoughts.
This story, it's the play story in today's Star Tribune, for example. It was in a lot of newspapers over the weekend. Well, it took the Baltimore Bridge situation to remind this country that we've got thousands of bridges that haven't been kept up. But when you look at the typical politician that we have raised, do you think they care about bridges?
No.
Look at the city councils, not that they're responsible for bridge maintenance, but look at the city councils in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Do you think they give a damn about a bridge?
No. Tell you what,
they're
they do
thinking
care
of
about
that stuff.
They care about bridge equity.
Yes, bridge equity.
And Transgender Day of Visibility.
That was Easter.
Yep.
Along with the National Half Shell on the Clam Bake Day or whatever it was. You know.
The majority of foreign manufacturers like Mazda, Subaru, and Mercedes-Benz means the closure could have major implications for the companies across the globe.
So Mazda and Subaru come through Baltimore?
Yes. Also, 444,000 people, passengers, cruise through Baltimore in 2023. Huh. According to state data.
That Francis Scott Key is very inside. It's inside the harbor. It's only the second bridge after you leave the inner harbor. It's tucked back in there. That's why it's going to be a problem because, you know, boom. See? It's not in a wide part. It gets wider as you go out, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the narrower part.
Oh. Okay.
Take a break.
Meat, okay. Seafood, everything goes through it.
Well, how many, just think what's on the ship. Lumber,
over 106,000 tons of furniture, 738,000 tons of newsprint.
How about food, though, in
all seriousness? On the boat, on the ship that hit the bridge?
Well, this is according to data, what goods usually travel through there.
Oh.
36,000 tons of alcoholic beverages, 83,000 tons of meat and seafood.
Wow.
Wow.
These are exports, aren't they, Matthew? Are these imports?
Yeah, they're probably going out. If it's seafood, I mean, Baltimore's, that's got to be shipped out.
You can get an ice crab cake in Baltimore.
You're not shipping that into Baltimore.
No, you can get an ice crab cake. Right in the press box in the old days, you could get a crab
cake. Memorial Stadium.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
right in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful old park.
I've never been there.
Well, it's gone now.
Oh, I don't remember it.
Get it? Take a break. Okay.
Door. Joe, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Later this month, this has come up before, but I think it bears repeating. We have a little microphone problem here, don't we?
No, I've seen that.
Is that fine right there?
Yes.
Later this month, two large broods of periodical cicadas are going to come out of the ground together. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Oh, wait a minute.
221 years ago it happened. So no, you've got, no, it's brood 13 and brood 19.
Huh. This is familiar to me.
I might have mentioned it before, but we're getting closer to the time.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's what you're
saying. Brood 13 and Brood 19 have been living underground for 17 and 13 years, respectively. But they're going to emerge at the same time. That's the first time two broods will emerge at the same time in 221 years. Trillions of cicadas are going to emerge at the same time across 17 states, according to Chris Simon, a professor at the University of Connecticut's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. Hmm. Brood 13 and 19 have been living underground for 17 and 13 years. Periodical broods are found in eastern North America and tend to emerge in large numbers. They emerge for a mating frenzy.
That's a reason to wake up.
Spring break.
Once they hatch, the nymphs feed off root sap underground until it's time to mate. Mating season has been described as noisy and chaotic, and it could take weeks. Now, I love the sound of cicadas. Am I thinking of cicadas or crickets?
Cicadas. You're talking about
cicadas. You're not going to love them when they're crawling up your pant leg, though.
Well, we're not going to get it.
Oh, yeah, we are.
This happened in 1803 when Thomas Jefferson was president. Hmm. The co-emergence of any two broods is rare because the cycles are both prime numbers. Uh-oh, it's math. John Cooley, founder of the Periodical Cicada Project, said...
What?
It's a number.
Was Jefferson a Democrat?
Any given 13 and 17-year-old broods will co-emerge once every 13 times 17, 221 years. See, it's a math deal.
Okay.
In the first week, people will be able to spot the cicadas sitting on vegetation after they shed their exoskeleton in the morning hours, Matt.
Okay.
Icky.
Then they climb trees, and the males will emit a loud noise to attract females.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
Come on. Check this out.
Hey.
Look what I got.
Look at this. You see this? 221 years, baby.
It's right,
Matt.
This sucker is ready to go.
Nice getaway sticks, hon.
The females will then follow
suit. Are those real?
The females follow suit. They make clicking noise.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That increase as the mating gets underway. Okay. So
Excuse me, are you clicking?
You can't hide it.
I swear I heard you clicking.
From there, the females can lay eggs and a new batch of cicadas will appear the next morning.
Oh, that's a fast turnaround.
That's a turnaround, isn't it? Brood 13 will be seen around north central Illinois, Ohio, and Iowa. Yes, sir. You in the back.
I want to know if 13 and 17.
19.
13 and 19 co-mingle. If 13
that's a good point.
Mix. Yeah, it's another math equation.
The mix.
I don't know. Brood 19, the largest, will be prevalent in parts of Illinois in the southeastern U.S., in Louisiana, Virginia, and North Carolina. The broods, the answer to Patrick's question. The broods will not overlap due to the latitudinal spread involved.
Oh, you know we'll get some
insects come in large numbers. 2015 was the last time a 13-year brood emerged with a 17-year brood when
Come on, Porky.
When brood 23 emerged with brood 1. See?
Wow.
And so then, they do.
Yeah.
Also, they hook up. Right?
There are more than... there are more than 3,000 cicada species, but only 7 are periodical cicadas, which are mega cicada.
So when a 19 brings a 17 home to meet his parents, is there a really uncomfortable dinner or what happens there?
They say you're not supposed to be commingling. It's not latitudinally possible.
Yeah.
This year's event will feature brood 13, which emerges every 17 years in the Midwest, and brood 19. They're not harmful to humans, pets, household gardens, or crops.
Can you give me a month or the weeks?
April, Kenny. I just said it. Late April.
Okay. Yeah. So they'll be gone by May. May 30th, Memorial Day, hopefully.
That's right.
Okay.
There are few places where 13-year and 17-year cicadas currently overlap, so it's not going to be within 2 to 6 weeks, Kenny. Most of the cicadas die after reproducing or in the process of emergence. Three weeks into the process, many of the cicadas will be high in the trees where they laid their eggs. The eggs will eventually fall to lower ground, where cicadas will hatch and then go back underground.
We're done.
I don't want to be a cicada.
We're done here.
But, if you've got to go, if your time is up, it may as well be right as you finish, right there. You're done. Call me home.
Why, if 13 and 19 will not be in the same area of the U.S., is this a big deal? Why?
Because it's the first time in 221 years that two periodical cicada groups have emerged at the same time.
Okay, but they're going to be different.
They don't care if they're in different. They don't care if they're in different parts of the country. Scientists are excited.
I see.
I'm sorry. I'm seeing 19s mingling with 17s. I don't care what you say.
It could happen.
13s, not 17s. Yeah.
19s and 13s.
A little bit of that brown sugar.
Yeah.
Hey now.
She's only 17.
Barry.
She's really just troubling 16 song. Years old.
Very troubling song.
Who is that, John? Barry.
They're not as pleasant sounding as crickets. Benny. They're more of a zzzz.
Yeah, it's a straight buzzing. It keeps going, that buzz.
And crickets are rare. Or how does a cricket go, Rook?
How does a cricket go?
Yeah. And then you mix that with the frogs and the tadpoles. It's raucous.
I love a good frog sound.
Oh, God, it never stops, though.
Ribbit.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Bud. Why?
You know, renewable. Are you done?
Bud.
Why? A bunch of dorks on this show, man.
Renewal by Anderson brings you Only Because.
Come on.
And Renewal by Anderson. I saw a truck today, a guy selling Renewal by Anderson windows in St. Paul, and they look beautiful.
I bet they were the
Acclaim replacement windows.
Yeah.
That's engineered and manufactured by Renewal right here. They're a J.D. Power Award winner with the highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers 4 years in a row. The most 5-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities among leading full-service window replacement companies. Go to the website. You can find all the corroboration of these wonderful honors. And they are the best, and they can prove it. So if you're in the market for windows, and it's not just windows, patio doors, entry doors, windows, check out Renewals, Acclaim Replacement Windows. Renewal by Anderson has the best products, hands down, and the best service. And you can learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/GarageLogic or call Renewal by Anderson or make your appointment. Renewal by Anderson, 651-705-6931, and it's courtesy of Renewal that you get Only Because they come to us all the way. Oh, boy. They're on a road trip.
Where are they?
They're doing a road trip to Arizona. from the traveling linemen.
I wonder if we did the same
you
path.
You might have crossed paths.
We might have.
Yeah. On this day.
Happy April Fool's Day.
Wow.
4-1.
Hey, Pat, is it still snowing out there? April Fools.
On this day in 1880, an act of Congress placed Fort Ripley Military Reservation in the public domain, making the land available for settler colonists. Mm. I had a great email from Downing on settler colonists. What the hell did I do with it? Dang it. Downing, send me that again, please. You had a great point.
Stuck in your printer.
The fort located on the Mississippi River below the mouth of the Crow Wing River had been established in 1849 and was abandoned by the Army in 1878. On this day.
4-1.
Say April. In 1923, the Twin Cities Savings and Loan Association was chartered. Hmm. The $7 million institution assisted thousands of area families in becoming homeowners. On this day,
April 1st,
1924, 600 women attended a women's safe driver automobile school at the YWCA, sponsored by the St. Paul Pioneer Press, the St. Paul Association Safety Division, and the Dunwoody Institute.
How many cars did they total?
I don't know.
We're all waiting to get our joke in. 100 years ago, and it still didn't take.
Yeah.
And finally, on this day,
April 1st,
in 1984, future Governor Jesse Ventura and Mr. Saito took on Baron von Raschke and the Crusher in front of 18,000 fans at Chicago Stadium in an American Wrestling Association sanctioned matchup. Ventura and Saito won by disqualification.
No big surprise there.
No.
What was the item that they used for disqualification?
Salt.
Polar bear femur.
Was it salt?
Mr. Saito was... his salt was his specialty.
Yeah, but you won. Ventura and Saito won by disqualification. So the other team must have done something wrong.
Oh, it was, did you say it was Crusher and who?
Baron von Raschke.
What did he say?
Something about the last samurai. I don't know.
So the body and Saito won because Baron and the Crusher cheated or something.
I bet it was a foreign object.
I don't know.
You know?
Thank you.
Who reffed? Who was the ref?
Doesn't say who the ref was.
Scrap Iron?
What didn't say.
Scrap Iron Kadaski?
George Scrap Iron Kadaski.
Was it the Sodbuster, maybe? Kenny J. I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell me who the ref was? I don't know.
I fought Bob Backlund at the Spectrum.
I remember when Adrian and I, we beat the High Criers. Brunzel and Ganya. They were not the High Flyers. They were the High Criers. Why don't you tell me what their nickname was? I don't know. Are you promoting GarageLogic.com?
And the town council, Mr. Ventura.
Why don't you tell me about it?
I would, but I'm out of time. GarageLogic.com.
Yeah, you screwed up with your...
I wish I'd shut up every once in a while.
Me too.
You know? Do what now?
Yep. Sign up. You'll find it there.